Well, continuing on, welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. August 16th, 2000, and I think it's 8 already. It's 8. We just move in centuries now over everything else. So anyway, we had a great guest on the other night, Dr. Robert Hieronymus. And now we'll continue on with, and he's great on symbolism. That's a good archive to check out. Anyhow, we're continuing on with our little mini-seminar stuff here. So, as promised, here we go again into the world of science.
It looks like this.
Energy.
There's a thing disappearing in the center of it, like that. And it kind of spirals down, like that. As it goes into the dimension, then the intelligence is disappearing right out of the dimension. You can actually we took a picture of it. If you can see it, I don't know what I can do to get that. I'll leave the side projector here, and when it gets darker, you guys can turn it on and look at it later. Talking about who was this? This was Dr. Sierra. I used to work with him before he passed on. If you had some football player or baseball player with a knee or back or joint injury, he would use our pyramids and his magnet to get him back in the game. This is the ANFPS-35 radar that I worked on when I was in the Air Force. This is the radar that was developed in the 40s. This is 366 feet across. This is this ANFPS-35. This is the same unit they had at Montauk, by the way. Those of you that ever go back to the building is there, and I think the antennas tore off of theirs now. But I worked on that radar, and that radar that was developed at Los Alamos is the radar that the Grays got into and caused those 4 or 5 crashings of those saucers. It was this radar. It's Chicago for them. This is when I was at NASA. This is one of the ships that went to the moon. This was the second stage. I used to sit up in this little building up here at night, when we weren't doing Fortran fairy tales in the computer room.
What's that device they keep alluding to that was installed in the Gulf Breeze Air Force compound?
What was that?
It's kind of an electromagnetic device that the Air Force installed about 4 years ago.
I don't know. I don't know what it is. I haven't heard of it. This is a project I was working on with Jim Delatoso. This is a titanium spaceship that he was working on. This is a man standing here. It's 88 feet across. He was working with some of the propulsion systems that I developed. But the government confiscated it. When you wonder why. Here's a picture of one of the U.S., joint U.S. Alien spacecraft. Photographed at Area 51. This saucer right there.
How many
exist? I don't know. Quite a few. One of my friends flew one recently. One of my CIA friends. He told me about it. When he got in here to sit on the seat, he had to put a suit on, and you swallow this like Freon. You have to drown. It's a G suit that you wear. And what you do, have you heard about, is in Popular Mechanics where they take a squirrel and you see him running around in an aquarium, breathing this liquid that they're in?
Yeah.
Well, that came from here. And so he told me, he said, he had put this suit on, and he's, CIA guy, he's a pilot, and he says, you gotta trust us, you're gonna drown in this suit right now. And they did, they filled it up with this liquid, I forget the name of it, but it's a carbon fluorine based liquid. And he says it was a horrible experience because he had to fill his lungs and he had to breathe, inhale and exhale liquid in his suit. He did it, and then he went in here. Yeah, it's a G suit. And then they went for a ride in here, and he was co-piloting one of these ships. And he says it pulls 33 G's sideways. He told me how it flew. And these are ceramic discs down in here. This is all part of the propulsion system, and there's some oxygen tanks and some support tanks in there for the liquid and all that. But he flew it for about 2 hours out there at Area 51.
How do they control and maneuver it?
It's got a, right here there's a joystick. Forward, backwards, like that. And I don't know how it goes up and down. Maybe it's some other lever, but he was explaining all that to me. It's interesting. ship, and this is all my drawings and notes. But he said when he got back, he said, then he had to start breathing air again. And he says, when they drained the suit, and he had to take it out, and he had to exhale this liquid. And he says, that was a horrible experience. His eyes were burning, and you know how you're getting water up your nose, and it burns. He says, not multiply that by a few thousand, and put it through your whole body. You know how it felt. He says, he had a hangover for a week after that. He says, for a whole week, he felt like shit. He says, that stuff really is bad. But it's the only way you can handle all the G-forces, the way these things behave. That's the problem with the development, I guess, of these things. Is that, see, that Pleiadian stuff they got out there that Bob Lazar talks about, destructive. When they have these signature cards on the Pleiadian ship, and something happens to it, certain key parts of the circuitry go to hell, and you can't replicate them here on Earth. They have to be brought in. And so they can get those Pleiadian ships to hover. But they don't need G-suits in those because they create their own gravity from within because they have gravity amplifiers. But these don't. These work on some other anti-gravity principles. This is a very famous picture here. This is what's his name? The scientist over there at Los Alamos that started, was the first guy to precede Bud Hopkins with the implants. And this is a woman. This is a hospital over at Presbyterian Hospital over at Albuquerque. And she has two implants, one here and one there in her head. She was abducted, her and her daughter. Her daughter wasn't implanted, but she was. That's what the implants look like. They're hard to see, but there's a CAT scan. It's right there. There's little white spots there, and there's a little white spot there. Implants in the grave.
They resonate to the frequencies?
Well, they're little receivers and transmitters, yeah. The radiologists call them foreign alien objects, unremovable by surgery. They don't know what they are.
They're made out of?
They're made out of the same thing that's in an electronic circuitry. They're actual little transmitters.
Microchips,
yeah. Because they use this holographic laser process, like we're using it now to create this new piece that we're working on called the projector. And we took a three-dimensional image of a drawing made up in a computer, and we took it and programmed a laser which scanned a liquid, and as the liquid hit the laser beam, it hardened and it made a mold for us. And that's what the grays do, but they use the minerals in your body. They scan your brain and they create the implant that way. That's how it's done.
You're skipping by those
Huh? Oh, those are just stop circles. I like Colin. I think, of course, it's Colin Andrews. That was when they all were teaching me how to read them. This is when I was over in Hawaii with some of my equipment recording. I was sending sound waves down into the Haleakala crater. The sound wave comes back. It picks up all the energy going down and coming back. And then it makes it 20 decibels down in one of my songs. So you don't hear it. I'm skipping down the slides because you wanted to see that X1. So we're going to the X1 now. They gave me the design for an X1. Slides in backwards, but this is the spectrum of gases and frequencies and wavelengths and nanometers of different colors and frequencies of the hydrogen atom. And this is for a healing design. They gave me a healing machine. And basically what happens is when a person has a cut or laceration or a problem in their body, that body part is subjected to a Corellian camera, and we photograph the aura frequencies of with the Corellian camera of deficiencies. Then what happens is these deficiencies are fed into a computer. The computer then is going to an optical amplifier, and this machine over here stands about 6 feet tall, generates pure frequent hydrogen atom frequencies. Sound-wise, color-wise, radiation-wise, okay? It can program large amounts of, and each one of these tubes right here has the output, like that 6-watt laser we had last night. This is brighter. This is really bright. But the technology is that each one of these screens has 7 sub-screens, so you have 49 colors across here. And the way that these screens change color is you change the gas. It's got a real difficult gas management system similar to a helium cadmium laser, so that this thing can generate waves of energy. It's like that whole living room last night in one of these waves, and it comes out in bursts, and it scans up and then up and up, or down and down and down, just depending on what you're deficient in color-wise via the chromium photography, will be made up here in mega amount. We're talking kilowatts of energy coming out of this thing, literally. And the person is receiving this energy is in a bathtub like this with saline salts and baking soda, balanced pH, and this tube is on top of them in the bathtub in very close proximity. And this system is will cause your body to heal, but would take months in seconds, literally in seconds. Okay, it's called the X1 healing machine.
And then we do a prototype?
Yeah, we did a prototype of the tube assembly and got some interesting results out of it. We never actually built a gas management system for it. So that's what the system would look like. It was at home. I had a little model of it there. And it's part of something greater. It's part of a propulsion system. I don't know if those slides are still on here anymore. This is part of the old time machine here. T700. This is when we were building it in Laguna Beach. My backyard took up a whole yard, see it? It wasn't finished when these photographs were taken. That thing was intense. Okay, here we are in the saucer. Now, this was the saucer that I was working on. The idiots put a stop to it. Here we have the saucer. And what this does is, this is a beam ship engine. Copy of one of the ones in what their Variation 3 craft had. Okay? And what it does is has an optics system on it. And it, first of all, to get off the ground, it has a system that I've worked on that's now being worked on at the University of Colorado by another scientist over there, but it was similar to the Surly stuff. But in this particular deal, we have two colloidal ferrous, non-ferrous solutions, and they're magnets that are superconductor magnets. And so we're pumping. Are you familiar? Anybody here familiar with what's called the Seebeck effect? The Seebeck effect is if you were to take a nickel and a copper wire, hook them together, and make a magnet out of them, it would have a non-magnetic. It would have a magnetic field, no polarity. It's the way the body works. The body has a magnetic field, but it has no polarity. It doesn't have a north and a south pole. The oil does, but the non-magnetism doesn't. This creates a non-magnetized field by pumping solutions in two different directions that are colloids, and pinching them with a superconductor magnet. Because what you do is you create gravity waves that way. One crude form of producing gravity waves. This gets the ship off the ground and into space. Once it gets into space, the system is useless, because it has to be around a body, a magnetic or a large, dense body, to function. When it gets out into space, it takes a photograph of what the top of the ship is seeing from here up. Of all of space, it takes a photograph of all of space below it. So it's photographing 360 degrees. Okay. Then it has a computer in it. And in that computer is a new program to change this camera into a projector. So now it's no longer a camera, now it's a projector. So it basically dissolves this photograph down into the computer and reconstitutes a new photograph outside of it of what the space and time and location should look like if it were theoretically there. And of course, the process takes a few hours to do this, and it becomes there. It's a hyper space generating system. And this is what Pleiadians use. This is their mode of interstellar propulsion. And the kink in this system is that, and it's also the merit of it, because on the Pleiades where this was developed a few hundred thousand years ago, this system had to be moved mechanically from point A to B, taking pictures to build the computer program. And so Aaron, Taigata, I mean, the Taigata and Alcyone, a lot of these planets are within a light year. I mean, stars. Like, if you're on the Earth, you'll see two suns. The stars are within a light year apart. So they used a, what was conventional to them at the time, a propulsion system to drag this thing around and take all these pictures to program it. Okay? And then gradually, they started getting away from the system, and gradually they started projecting theorems of what it should look like to reach the next step. Okay? About every other one of these theorems was incorrect. So that meant that when they were feeding in the information of where they were and projecting the information to where they wanted to be, if the theorem wasn't correct, they would be lost in space and time and basically get killed. This is how Pleiadians die, typically, the space pilots. So in the very first 10,000 years of their space program, they lost a lot of pilots. They lost a hell of a lot of pilots. But the system is better now. They still lose them, and it's still experimental, but they've gone out quite a ways with it now. They've got it down. What the X1 does, the healing machine, what it does is, in order to project the information in to this photograph, it becomes the actual information projector, the healing machine. Because what is the universe? It's no different than the human body. If you can heal the human body, you can fly in the universe. So the X1 is a part of a propulsion system to a greater thing. So it has a healing advantage, plus it has the advantage of propelling the spaceship through space and time at any kind of speed. Over, there's no such thing as the speed of light when you get into this stuff. So that's what the X1 is. That was the technology that I was on when she left. But we've abandoned that work now because the world is definitely not ready for this stuff, you know. But it does exist. It is possible, you know.
$1.4 trillion
a year spent on
sick care.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, the X1 they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, the X1 the X1, I would proceed to that, but I need another $1 million to start on it again. I spent all the money I'm going to. I spent literally millions of dollars on the stuff that you see around here, developing it. And I'm not spending that much more development money anymore. And so it's time. I've talked to some Japanese companies, and there's interest. The big development needs to take place in the tube itself. In that tube. I have a slide of the tube somewhere, but it wasn't in that group. But the tube is the thing that needs to work, and that's where the money is going to be spent. The Corellian stuff is developed. It's pretty easy. It's basically use your hand, you know, you just need one hand for that, because the hand represents the whole body. And we have a camera in there. The camera is a video camera, and so it's constantly giving information. The patient is told what thoughts to think, what to do, and blah, blah, blah. This goes down in the program. So that's all in there. It's just getting the projector. Because we know, ideally, I did a lot of work with brilliant photography in my early days here. A lot. And some of it's in my book. And we got very deep into it. And there's a lot of work that's been done even way beyond what I've done. So that information's available. So it's easy to find from what's there what the deficiencies are. So the only thing that really needs to be finished up is the projector. And then if the projector is done, that central sphere that it projects into for the propulsion system isn't a problem either. And neither are the optics. So it would go rather rapidly into the ship once the next one was built, because that's the whole heart of it. And you know what's really funny is the day the Earth stood still had a similar system. Remember when the guy got shot? They put him up, and it took the robot came out, took the propulsion system apart, and stuck him in it, and healed him. It was amazing how accurate those people were. And this came from Sannyasi. Fred Bell had nothing to do with the design of this at all. This was verbatim from her how this should go. You know, mm-hmm. I had no clue in hell. I didn't know and understand this stuff. I mean, they actually literally educated me on the way to get to land. Yeah. Okay, now before my wife takes over, are you guys got any questions on the stuff that we've covered up till now?
Well, up till now, I would like to know, sometime I want to tell me what the graves are. And I also have another question. I want you to tell me what to tell people when I walk around with that triangle on my head. People ask me all the time.
I'm just telling
them. questions.
Yeah, well, the grays are just a bunch of insects, so that's an easy question. They come from Theta Reticuli 2, which is 38 light years from here. They're a dying civilization, and they're a parasite. They've lived off other civilizations. They have two brains, one on each side of the cerebral hemisphere. They have two hearts, a large one and a small one. They have chlorophyll-based blood, which is an octahedron, tetrahedron, which is a magnesium versus iron. So therefore, they're like plants. And when you have an octahedral shape versus a tetrahedral shape will only bring 6 levels of consciousness down. An octahedron will bring down 7 levels of consciousness. So the grays do not have a 7th level of consciousness, meaning they only come down to the astral. Even though they're physical, their consciousness is only to the astral. So that means that they don't have individual souls. They have an oversoul on the astral plane. You only live there. So that's why they get people at night when they're sleeping, because that's their power. Okay? So they're like afraid, you know?
So how do you protect yourself against them?
Keep the aura field up high enough so that they're repulsed by it. They like people that are weak in first ray. Okay? If you're weak in the first ray, what is the first ray? Will, exactly. Red. If you're weak of the will, then you're a target for them.
And
keep your willpower up.
Huh? What about the catamutilations and the...
The catamutilations are for body parts, primarily for their food. They use a 325 degree beam of light, so light knife that they use. They first remove the blood. The mutilations are done in a ship. They take the cow up, they take the blood out, which they also use. The cow is given no antiseptic, no painkillers. The cow is in a great pain. And then they, with their heat knives, these are the worker grades that do this. They have a supervisor there that hands over them. And they cut the organs out that they need, usually the entrails and the, sometimes the tongue, the eyes, depending on what they need.
Is that for the DNA?
No, well, more than that. It's for the organs themselves. Yeah, for the actual, you know, like eat liver to build up your liver sometimes, and you know, because they're not vegetarians. They're meat eaters. They're flesh eaters. And so then what they do is they take these body parts and they put them in a hydrogen peroxide solution. And the grays don't have an alimentary canal. They used to have, but it's gone, it's atrophied. So they have to put their arms in the solution of all these organs. And that's how they absorb their nutrients, you know. And they excrete the same way, you know. In other words, they take a shit through their arm. And that's why they don't smell very good. When you get around a gray, you're going to find they don't smell too good. They're not the cleanest smelling things around. You know, they smell like bad urine.
They recently found human bodies which were mutilated in the same fashion in Brazil.
Yeah, they have. Yeah, they found one up in New Mexico mutilated like that, and then they tried to arrest the sergeant who was with the guy, but he got abducted and carried a mile away and shredded. And the guy that was with him, so he was disappeared. They tried to arrest him, but later on they found his body. There's a book written about it. I forget the guy's name. It was a sergeant at Los Alamos. There's a lot of stories like that. As far as tell people about wearing a pyramid on their head, tell them you enjoy it. You know, I've had some of the best moments of my life wearing a pyramid on my head. Yeah, because you meet a lot of interesting people that way.
Yeah.
I was offered 2 leading roles in 2. Once in the Love Boat, because I was wearing the pyramid, and I met Henry Coleman, who bought it off my head. He wanted me to co-star as the crazy doctor of the Love Boat. And then I met Norman Lear when I was doing a Channel 11 interview at KCTV. He wanted me to co-star in Mary Hartman's series, Wearing the Pyramid. Now, that's the kind of experiences I've had. Met some neat girls. Dated them because I was wearing the pyramid. I was sitting here one day at the store, sitting here like this, up there in Hollywood, this little round. This little girl comes running up.
She comes running up to me. She's about 19 or 20.
Gets down on her knees and she puts her eyes and looks right at my face. I went down in there and she says, "I want to know who you are. I want to know who you are." I says, "Okay." I says, "Who are you?" And she says, "I'm Michelle Pfeiffer. You know, I'm an actress."
Oh, good. You know, so wear the pyramid. So Michelle and I started going up. She started wearing the pyramid. You know, shit like that, you know, happens. You know, you have fun. When I was back in the 70s, when I used to go out on the set to make a movie, they used to wear the pyramid. Well, we had a lot of fun. Matter of fact, what's his name? The guy that's this Million Dollar Man. He came to my period I started in Hollywood, of all things. You know, it started in Hollywood on top of on the corner of Melrose and La Brea at the Melting Pot Restaurant. And we had an ad agency up there. And some of the attorneys on the O.J. Simpson team, some of their teammates, were friends of mine, and they got me together with a Snyder Butler company, which was a PR firm, and that's where Paradigm literally started as a corporation. And so the guy from the $6 million man, I used to have Friday night lectures at the Melting Pot, and he started coming, and he started filming the $6 million man, but not on the film, but wearing the pyramid all the time, wouldn't take it off. Lee Majors, that's who it was. You know, I got to tell you a lot of funny stories about the pyramid. One thing, when David Tickle, who's probably the most famous record producer in the world, he just got it. Last year at his house, they were delivering a double platinum they did with Elton John. But one time he was out there, we were out with a U2 band, and they were doing Shake, Rattle, and Hum. And David has the pyramid in his living room, big giant living room. And Bono was in there, and he couldn't. Had a problem writing some song in that damn album. And he had saw an alien materialize right in the pyramid. This is a drug-free band, by the way, you two. And I just thought I'd throw that in. He wasn't on something. And so Bono got this vision in my pyramid. And then he went out in the studio where I have three fire stars in the studio, or two now. And they recorded that Shake, Rattle, and Hum album. So, I mean, it had this influence in music, too, you know. When Sherry Brown was running for governor, I went on his campaign with him. I was wearing the pyramid. I took him in the White House down here one night in a restaurant. Jerry was still the owner, and he was driving his old beat-up Chevy. And we sat down there, and I had the pyramid on, and we were talking about something. 50 drinks. Within seconds, 50 drinks in front of us. And Jerry says, "Fred, let's get out of here." I don't drink. I put out Nick, the manager, down there. He never forgets that, you know. So we've had good times with the pyramid. There's stories like that. And Nick, it's ongoing, you know. Fun to wear the pyramid. Way fun. On airplanes, that's a real good place to wear it. It's really, you don't get any jet lag because you're having too much fun wearing it. You know, you have a great time. And wearing it in New York, going to Chase's, someplace like that, you know, that's real good. You know, New York loves the pyramid, but they're so used to it, you know. And the first time I took it to Las Vegas, that was fun. Later on, we started having great times with it in the 70s, but I got into Las Vegas wearing a pyramid out of Black Lake and Continental. It was 1974 or 5. In those days, a Landmark hotel was open. That's that one that was up on the tower there. As I drove into town, got out of my car, had already checked in, went straight up to my room. As I walked in the door, the phone was ringing, and it was the sheriff wanting to know who I was and what we were doing in town, because I had three girls with me, all wearing pyramids, all attractive. One was a model, another one was one of my girlfriends and one of her girlfriends, and me wearing the pyramid. And the sheriff had me on the phone within 30 seconds of the time I got in my room. And I said, "Well, you know," I said, "we wear pyramids, we're in meditation, and we're going over to the convention center, and we got, you know, Frank Bird is our rep over here. We're going to be doing a big show in town." "Oh, okay, cool." And then he was off. So then we go in. We used to go in when we developed a new pyramid. We used to go in the MGM Grand and see how many tables we could clear. You know, because you walk down and everybody stops gambling. With a pyramid mine, you can stop the whole place. With a pyramid mine, you might stop 300 feet. One night we were in we had our pyramids on, and we were over at the Sahara, and my wife was muscle testing Willie Nelson for a. And they just given Willie a credit card, a gold credit card, and all his honors because he's a rock star and whatever. And the next minute, because Willie's wearing a pyramid and getting muscle tested, they kicked me, my wife, and Willie Nelson and his buddy out of Sahara for soliciting. You know, because they thought we were selling a reception. We were giving him one, you know. And then he bitched at me going out that I didn't take him to bring him to my seminar. "Why didn't you invite me to your seminar?" Because I'd given him so much music, his belly aching, for Willie Nelson. Then you get to come to the seminar I was doing over there that time.
So, I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on. It's bizarre, you know, when you wear the pyramids. I love it, you know. You're invisible when you wear the receptor, but you're visible when you wear the pyramid, you know. So you can take your choice, you know.
And you wear them both, you
can. Yeah. And I have the most fun is I have a hobby of restoring cars. And recently, John Anderson had this real nice Rolls Royce that he brought over and had to restore it for him to sell him. And so here I am in this big yellow Rolls Royce. It's got a 27 coat lacquered paint job on it, and this giant sunroof. I'm cruising all over the place wearing a pyramid driving a Rolls Royce. You talk about stopping people. I mean, I don't know what goes on in their minds, but they just like, what's this nut doing in a Rolls Royce? What is that thing on his head? I mean, how can this be? You know, why don't I have it? You know, I mean, get this. It's just continuous. So anytime I go out with my friends in bizarre cars, I always make sure we all have pyramids on. That's real important. You know?
Do you think there'll come a time when it'll be quite common to see people's pyramids on?
I don't know. It's a dunce cap, you know. We deserve to wear it because we screwed the earth up. One lady told me, we've been on the earth too long and the rent is due. It's pretty cool. Other than the earth, once you have the rent paid.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll turn the seminar over to Frockabell now if he's around here. Frockabell, are you around here? She likes to do the fire star. She'll also do the meditation part where you get in here and program the crystals. So I gotta find her now. If you guys want, you can take a 10-minute break and then sit here for hours on it.
Sitting over there.
Can you show me the plastic? So what did happen yesterday?
Yesterday we had power down the silver.
Everybody, there's some North Carolina. A three star. Macadamia nut and date and vanilla and spirulina and apple juice. So it's different from yesterday.
This is
different. And you have to drink it right now if you want one because they don't
have it.
You
don't want to do all of
it. I am. I know a good thing right here.
Where is it? So funny. Oh, so funny.
So what do I do? Oh, thank you. Where'd you find my glasses?
Oh, the advocate.
Yeah, I
didn't know. Yeah, in fact, I initiated one in San Diego area.
Yeah,
yeah,
what's that?
Oops.
Why don't you get a little bit more into the Firestart.org system. I think Fred has covered most of it already, and you have seen the setup yesterday. It also works with the lasers, and he has explained the lasers and the function of the lasers. So with either one of the systems, you can use the lasers, and depending on the type of color of the laser, that's the frequency you will work on the cellular structure, because the lasers bring the photons in, so it works directly with the hydrogen atom in the cell. That's why you only can use a laser for that purpose and not any other light. It wouldn't work. So if you want to stimulate the pituitary gland, the red in the meditation, Fred was saying it there too, the willpower, the male, the all of that kind of a frequency and energy, if that's what you lack of, you want to use a red laser. If you want to work on the intuitive, the female, balance, all of that, you want to use a green laser, et cetera, in order to work the full spectrum. The hydrogen atom consists of the seven levels of consciousness divided in the seven colors, so the more you want to come to the full spectrum, you will use the lasers in those different colors. Yesterday at the laser light show, one of the big setups was one blue kind of a structure. It had different lasers inside different colors, a red, a blue, a yellow, a green, etc. And it's called the rainbow laser generator. And that actually can create all the different colors. And we did use it yesterday in the laser light show. It was basically, because there was so much going on, you probably didn't even notice it. It was just part, you know, of everything. But that laser, combination of the laser, was focused very much on the Omnia, which was the centerpiece coming down, and has all the, you know, includes all the different colors, the full color spectrum. Here you see, so with the Firestart orb, a little bit different from the other systems, except in the system 3, you also use in each irradiator one gemstone, or one receptor with one gemstone, from the diamond to the ruby to the emerald, etc. Again, works with the seven levels of consciousness represented by the seven colors, the four color spectrum. So here we also use gemstones. Each one of the corners is an octahedron again, and so when you work with it, whatever color frequency and gemstone you put in it, it will be amplified hundredfold. So when you use the Firestart Herb system, or for whatever you want to do, any own frequency and what you want to create, the Firestart Herb will be there to amplify it. So it's an amplification of what you want to accomplish. This here is like a ruby in its raw form, uncut. You can put cut gemstone, or you can put gemstone in its raw form, but you won't put crystal in it. You will put a gemstone quality in it, because it's a lot more focused and concentrated in that way. So on the receptor disc, which the disc is there, you would use gemstones. And if the Firestart orb in particular, if it's used like this as a unit on its own, it's a very personal system where you will design it exactly for your needs. I was giving an example with one girl who was singing and wanted to get rid of some of the blockages in her voice and to have more of a, you know, range from low to really high range in her voice. And there were just blockages where she couldn't get through. And a lot of times with our voice, I mean, whenever we wouldn't breathe from here, we're all up here and we're having anxiety or so forth, our voice is not full and becomes all high pitched or whatever. So when you sing, that's even more so very, very important. So in her fires.org, she would put all emerald, all green color frequency in gemstone quality, and that works in the throat chakra. Open up that area. So depending on what you want to do, the fires.org system is the communication device, or the device a lot of people actually use it to establish contact with extraterrestrials, to have space. We could give examples and examples over examples. How many people have been using and are using the fires.org to attract spaceships, to attract plating spaceships, other types of spaceships? And then you set up the fires.org just a little bit differently. You know, you don't need all the particular color frequencies as far as the gemstones. You need the structure of the fires.org just like that. And you put it up, depending on where you are, out to the sky, to the outside. You can put it in a big, you know, against a big window frame, etc. Whereas when you work with it, then you would have it in the room, and like you said, in my room, it's more where it's in contact with you. So depending on what it serves, really those two purposes. And of course, if you wanted to get more in touch with angelic frequency or any kind of frequency, the fire still allows you to do it. And depending on what kind of gemstone.
Is that the one in your room?
Mm-hmm.
What does that cost?
Firestore, the basic Firestore would be around, would start like at $1,500.
Mm-hmm. That's no stones.
No stones, mm-hmm. the quartz, the crystal. And then because the stones, either we get them for you, some people have their own gemstones or have part of the gemstones, etc. And they're, you know, it all depends on what you get. And then the lasers, depends on how many lasers you use with the system or anything. So, but the basic system would be 1500.
Okay, now the gemstones are mounted at the top of the pyramids, right?
The gemstones are right here on the disc. So on top of the pyramids, right in the centerpiece. Yeah.
And how are they glued on? What is that that you're using to glue them on?
Oh, that's hot. This here is hot glue, which is a non-toxic form, and also you can remove them very easily. But we have also mounted the gemstones on this one here. It's not that way, but we have mounted the gemstones itself in a sterling silver frame, you know how you would mount the ring, and then just clip, because the disc has a hole in the center, and then just clip them on.
And
so then there's no glue, no anything like that.
The quartz pieces are glued on also with hot glue?
The quartz pieces, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's hot glue.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you don't use any other type of glue would be really toxic. So hot glue is...
And you basically glue this yourself.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Like the Amion, you know, structure, where you see where all the different crystals, the points are in there. They are hot glued in there. Yeah.
Right.
Wow. If you want to check angelic energies, do you put it towards you or out? Is that when you put the first door out?
Oh no, you can put it toward you too, because depending on what you know, frequencies, you know, the angelic frequencies, not what you want to reach, the fire star will send out that beacon of light. And then as you meditate with it, with your system, you will become that energy too, and that's when it happens.
So when you use it for extraterrestrial contact, that's when it goes out?
Not per se. It can be still in, and you can, you know, you can work it either way.
You can go either
way.
But
it's very, right. But if somebody didn't want to work individually like that with it, you can just point it out, or it can be hanging from a ceiling. So there's many different ways how you can set it up.
Okay.
Where you would have it direct to of you is if you also want to use, you know, the gemstones that work, because it will stimulate certain chakras and areas in your own body. So in order to, if you want to work to open up all your charts and become a lot more balanced yourself,
mm-hmm.
that's when you want to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're not interested in that, then you need to go to the extent of the gemstones and fine tune it that way,
mm-hmm.
you know.
That unit does not have to be grounded.
No, No, it doesn't have to be grounded.
So if I want to rotate it, I can...
Yeah.
I can device some kind of fixture where it's standing on a almost like a tripod. Like
yes.
That.
Yeah. If you want to have the right device, yeah, definitely.